but me say it up, but me say look, that ain't got to do with a best friend. That got to do with like, I got you as my woman, or man and man. This that with domestic partners that include opposite sex.
So when a man marries a woman, she don't marry her best friend, or he don't marry his best friend?
But the point that I'm looking at is that they have the same rights as a married couple.
Anything that wrong that with that? That's what I ask you. Anything wrong? And something is wrong with that, in your opinion?
Well, for the people to talk about it.
No, I ask you. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I'm not saying my reason about it, but I know my reason about it. But that is just a smart move.
Well,
to get it level, to get the same sex people, to get the same rights as other persons.
But aren't they people too?
Yes, there are people too, Miss Higgs. Yes, there are people. I came up with lesbian confusion nowadays with this mixed thing and that you don't like the. We had no problem with them years before. So I don't see what all the problems and the rushing to do this and rushing to do that. Anyhow, my last thing, I always saying that ministers condemning other ministers, but all the ministers do the same thing, don't Miss Higgs? They're no different, so don't be pissed that you perfect and the other people bad.
But that's been the norm for years in government. They always come and they will say what the other side did or didn't do, and that they will make it better. And in some cases they do make it better, in some cases they don't.
But all the same thing, it ain't a different. All do the same thing, it ain't a different. So don't condemn one and I put that you said that you perfect. Anyhow, you have a good day, all right?
You too, my dear. Thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, I was dying to get you on the line. There's about 2 weeks now, right?
Okay, well, I'm glad you
because, got to. Because the last conversation you had with two gentlemen there, you mentioned a conversation that me you had previous to that. But I guess that today is a day that we really mourning the loss of a great prime minister. And it will leave that discussion between me and you till later on another time, right?
Okay.
I would really like to say on behalf of St. Michael Southeast, and I would like to extend condolences to the family and the people of St. Peter at the death of a great prime minister, Owen Arthur. Now, I have been around in the time of Mencia Cox, right away through in St. Michael's office. And Mr. Arthur has done more for the pine than any other person. When Mr. Arthur came to the pine, he said he came for Hamilton Lashley because he believed he's the right person to push the project that he had in mind. And that project was social transformation. He didn't only come to talk. He came and he put money into Pine Development Council. I guess that was that culture. He also turned and put money into national housing to cut down the rent of the tenants, not only the Pine, incidentally, but throughout Barbados, who was renting government things. He turned around and he put millions of dollars, a few million dollars, into the National Bank to lend the people of St. Michael's Southeast so they could start doing businesses. So now we're hearing about these small businesses turning up. And if you go into Parkinson Field, you will see a number of businesses that benefit from what he did. I remember when Arthur, in the early 80s, he used to be at John Bull Bar there in Tudor Street. And he always liked to wear shirt jacks. So watching him through the years, I found that he was a person who was a people's person. And it would serve a lot of people within the cabinet now, or people who are aspiring for higher offices, to take a leaf out of their books, because I heard the former Attorney General and Chief Justice saying that after they were decimated in 86, that he and Owen Arthur decided to go into the villages in the ram shops or whatever and get acquainted with these people. And it served them well during the next election and subsequently. And in St. Michael's office, we had two gentlemen that was of the same ilk. The first one, to my mind, was Delilah Bradshaw. He was a people person. He used to come out in the gutters and communicate with people. Then we had Hamilton Lashley. But now we are finding that a lot of these politicians, they feel that they could stay where they like, hear information, and don't get down to the people to get the heart and the pulse of the way people are thinking. And so it is with this deep regret that I heard about his passing. So on behalf of the people of St. Michael's Southeast, I would like to say thanks to his wife and his children, his mother and father, though deceased, and his brother, for allowing us to have the opportunity to be served by such a great son of the soil. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Well said. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, Joya.
Good morning. How are you? I'm good. What about you?
I'm not too bad.
Good.
I can speak about a little village here in St. Thomas that you know as much as I do.
Okay.
It's close to my heart, and I believe it's also close to your heart. A place called Iroquois in St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You know that is not a very big village, mm-hmm. and you could only access Iroquois from two entrances, right? From the Chandler School site mm-hmm. or from the Spring Farm site.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody want to access Iroquois from the Chandler School site, it is completely blocked by a tree that falls across the road. All right? And you know the district bus have to travel that route.
Mm-hmm.
And I find in recent times, as long as you get a good downpour of water or probably a strong wind stronger than average, these trees coming down in that neighborhood, in that district, because the trees are very old mm-hmm. and it don't take too much to bring them down.
You remember, Tomas, how out there looked?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but,
you can pass
but,
as well.
But early this year, they had two fall down side and side,
mm-hmm.
right? But this particular one, this year blocking the next
shore. How long ago it fell down?
Well, I would think that it fell between last night and this morning.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. So I just passed there, and I think it is in national interest for I to call. And I didn't really plan to call because I know the country is the morning, so mm-hmm. I cannot say anything pertaining to the last prime minister. Sorry, to the fallen prime minister. Different to say that, in my opinion, he was a great prime minister. You know, so that is it.
But
so
Wesley, the tree that you're talking about, Iroquois, there are some able-bodied men that can move that tree. You know that, right?
But I am saying to you, the tree is the property, and if you want me to go this route, the tree is the property of Carl Williams and his plantation.
Okay.
Right? And I'm saying that he have a working staff
to
every
move
day.
It. Understood.
And the William Group, they have able-bodied people, they have the equipment, mm-hmm. and they should get the tree from across the road.
All right, fair enough.
I don't expect empty dumpster.
I didn't realize. Well, I now see exactly where you're talking about. That would have been. It would be the property of. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Good.
Thank you, Wes. Thank
good,
you. Good. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I have one problem, right? Now the license authority. The license authority stopped printing the private car numbers down the private car disses for nearly 2 months, right? Everybody, I don't know if they put it on the air or not. I didn't hear it because I'm going to work every morning and thing. But no, but the rain stopped me every morning. I went three different Mondays this month checking on the license to get the diss print from Mike for the car. All they're telling me that they are not printing disses for the private cars. Oh, and the only disc you get in now is the first timers and the commercial vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I will let the license authority manager to come on the air and say what is the reason that they are not printing the discs for the private cars.
Yeah, but if it's not a new car, did they say to you only first time owners and commercial, correct?
But I didn't get that from the guard. Mm-hmm. The guard at the door, I even asked a question, and he pointed Monday here that just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the gentleman at the girl, he got to be the only friend in France for the first time, commerce and private vehicle and commercial vehicles. So all the year, every year we get a license this for VCR and no VCR.
Well, let me backtrack a bit. You went to the licensing authority.
Yeah.
Right.
To get final,
right. And did you find out at the counter what the procedure is? At the counter, not the guard yet.
No,
let's not get to the guard yet.
No. I went at the counter in Warren the first Monday this month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To get come. And the lady tell me, check the sign there that is in the line you got going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's saying that no about private cars, vehicles, private. This is printing until something. But what's happening here? I got about 3 different Mondays now, which is after Monday here going just. I went in the pine now. Mm-hmm. I didn't went Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I went pine. And now I went to ask the questions to the guard because there's a lot of people was outside.
Right.
Right? And the line. I went to ask the guard a question. Excuse me, sir. Is it they're printing? If they were printing the private car, this, I would have gone in line and started and ready to get my print. Right?
Okay.
So the man told me plain and straight, they are not printing no private car. This is no, except you have a first timer on only commercial vehicles. That was the gentleman telling me. So I said, you don't know how long it can be waiting. He told me he don't know. Right? But I figured that the license authority manager should come on the ear or met a number of the government program and see where it is because let me the police stop you now. You don't have your up-to-date license. What going to happen?
Is it the disc that you then also the sticker too as well? Are we talking
right.
about?
Because the lady looked at me and told me the first money went, my car was expired. Long as you got the insurance, you covered. Right? That's what she told me. As long as you got the insurance, you covered. That's the first time I get at the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I would like to know that definitely the license authority or the minister of transport and work, where is that the private cars can get the license discipline? And I'm sure that all those vehicles that they have all their private discipline them. Right? License discipline them. And I'm sure that. Right?
Okay, well.
That's what I would like to know.
Fair enough. Well, I don't have the answer for that because I don't know exactly. As you said, you went 2 different places.
Go ahead.
I know we have the disc. I know we also have the sticker. One
right.
for the insurance. The sticker, remember they extended the time for people to, this is last year I'm talking about.
My one, I don't know, since the 5th of July, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I can't get license just to get the stickers.
Well, communication is important. So hopefully, as you rightfully said, someone can come and explain if there are any challenges and delays this year regarding getting the stickers and the disc placed on the car.
Listen.
In the right time.
Listen, I'm working with a company, right? The company sent a truck for inspection Friday. Friday, by Monday morning, they had the sticker for the car, for the truck to put on it. So what if the only commercial vehicles is getting stickers? Well, I will know why that they can't get the people stickers for their cars too, right? Because every year you should get a sticker. If you license your car in July last year, every year you go and pay your money for you and get your road tax and get your sticker. The government come and change it for the year we're getting them. No, they stop giving you them. And they can't tell you why.
No, but they stop giving you. Just remember that there's no road tax. There's proof though of paying insurance. That's what we're looking at. So basically, your sticker that you're saying, your insurance is out from the 5th of July?
No, my road tax is out for the 5th of July. My insurance is good.
What does your sticker say on the back of your car?
Well, right now, it tell you.
What month is it?
It was out on the 5th of July last year.
The sticker?
I mean, this year, the sticker.
On the bumper?
The sticker you're telling is 20, is 1920 or something, so 20 on it.
2020, okay.
Right, that little sticker on the back.
Right.
On the license plate, mm-hmm. It's 2020, July 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I can't get none.
And your insurance is still good?
My insurance is still good.
Okay.
Still good.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess we could find out when the stickers will be available, because normally, if the expiry date is up with the sticker, you should get a new sticker. But
you should get a new sticker.
Yeah, but what she's trying to tell you is your insurance is good. And if you get stopped, it's not your fault that the sticker is not available, but your insurance, you have proof of your insurance, correct?
Now listen, she didn't tell me that it's not my fault. All she said, was your insurance good? You're good to go. That's the word she used to me.
Okay.
That's what she used to me at Warren.
Mm-hmm.
What's your insurance good? You're good to go. Right?
All right. Well, let's see what response we get. Thank you so much for that. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Hick.
Good morning.
Once again, no. You said on this program already, because just now when we're speaking to you, you had the final say. So I decided to call.
Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good morning. Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to follow on to where Miss Undecided left off. Mm-hmm. First of all, you said to her that what was being allowed was the, if, for example, persons you have, the, in terms of domestic partnership, two persons who are best friends living together, and they want to give one power of attorney or legally do X, Y, and Z.
I didn't say to her that was allowed. I was explaining to her. She asked me what it meant, what this partner meant. So in my interpretation, I was giving it to her. Certainly not what a piece of paper and the translation of what that piece of paper meant. I gave her my view as to what partnership meant, could mean.
Yeah, but domestic partnership has a particular reference as it relates to relationship, intimate relationship, because you're talking about family, you're talking about and this is it. I think we're talking the same thing. We're talking about that bill, stay at the work from home bill or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what you. That's the context in which we are speaking. And first of all, it was. I remember I was walking and I heard. I was doing my exercise. I heard Edmund Hinkson stating that nothing has been changed from the law where partnership means and marriage and whatever means the relationship between a man and a woman. And then suddenly I saw on WhatsApp post coming out, persons talking about their marriage as between their male partner not having significance, and LGBT persons were querying, you know, what it means for them and very upset. And then next thing, it was changed just quickly like that. It was just pushed through the amendment. And I, what I want people to understand is when concerned that this LGBT issue, homosexual rights and same-sex marriage and all this thing would come true, whether openly or subtly, in this country, and they were opposed to it. Ms. Motley was very clear. She said any change to the laws as it stands will be done by a referendum as it relates to same-sex marriage, etc.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
What we are seeing is subtle changes that makes it almost null and void, in that if you're talking about partnership, domestic partnership, and we have common law, we have the law being changed by Sir Henry Ford and giving certain rights to common law relationships between a man and a woman, in that if you stay together in a partnership for 5 years, you have the same
legal rights
as a woman that you would get, etc. Mm-hmm. So why this need to carry the definition even further? You are not consulting the church. You are not consulting the public. You are saying to them, we will go to a referendum, but yet you are certainly inching closer to the goal that you seem to want to have. And I want to point out to listeners of Barbados and the church people, I'm not talking to the Seventh-day Church because, I don't know, they seem quite comfortable, but I'm speaking to the church at large who may not be comfortable with this, and I've been hearing some of the reverends and others speaking. What I want people to understand, currently there is a case between, I can't remember the person's first name, Renetta Mohammed or something Mohammed. This is a transgender person, male to female, whatever. And there's a case before the Inter-American Court, I think it's called. It was in Barbados Today Online, highlighted. I don't buy the Nation, but I can read Barbados Today Online, so I saw it. It's public. And what was said in this case was they couldn't understand. They were clamoring for certain rights and equal rights, etc., and they couldn't understand why the government did not put in a defense. And I recognized immediately what was going on. If the government does not put in a defense to those persons before the court stating that their human rights have been breached and they want the same right as heterosexual persons, etc., if there is no defense put in by the government, they will win by default, and that will become the law. And therefore, then this government will be able to say, but we didn't change the law, but the court said that this is what what should happen. But you have not put in a defense. Why didn't the government put in a defense? Barbadians are not aware of this. So they are allowing this case to go through. If you don't put a fence, you're virtually saying, we agree with you. We're not putting a defense. And this is deceitful and disingenuous. If you say you're going to go to a referendum and the public will have their say, these measures that you're putting piecemeal, and as Caswell Franklin, Senator Caswell Franklin and Reverend Joseph Attlee stated, through the back door, and persons are not even aware. Right now, persons are discussing the late Mr. Owen Arthur. And things are happening quickly. There is no opposition really in any large number in the House. Laws are being changed because of the majority, and the press is asleep at the wheel, saying nothing, or even if they know, they are not even dealing with this thing and putting an alternative view. And I'm saying to Barbados, you watch and see. The very same thing you were concerned about during the campaign, and Ms. Motley told you no. They're going to go to a referendum. You watch and see how the laws are being changed bit by bit.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay, so I'm looking at this application here, and it says family, applicant, spouse, partner, and dependent. Okay? Because that was what I guess you're referring to, and everybody's talking about partner. I didn't see the definition here of marriage. That was in a previous document when it says between a man and a woman, and then it was questioned somewhat if when you have this remote stay, 12 months stamp, if the persons of the same sex would not be recognized. Now, my personal views, I don't know, I guess I don't know what your personal views are. For me, I'm thinking, okay, at the moment, do you have to declare that you are in a relationship with somebody in order to say they are your partner? And I say relationship, I mean of an intimate nature. Can it not be a case where, and because I'm thinking that the problem is the intimacy that people have a problem with. There's more to this than just that part of a relationship. That's just one. So if I took that out of the equation, would it be okay then for a person, say myself, you or whoever, a female and myself coming from Australia to work here remotely, and I declared Mary as my partner. She signs all of my, she co-signs with me. She owns a house with me. When I come here and declare that, what's wrong with that?
I want you to know that the whole issue of partner carries with it more weight than just looking at the sexual aspect of those.
Which is the legal weight of it, the legality of it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I am saying to you, when the law has not been changed, therefore, in our law, relationships, domestic relationships, whether by marriage or common law, is seen between a man and a woman. And therefore, when you slip in partner without specifically referring back to the law, which speaks to those relationships, because homosexual sex between a man and a man is still buggery, is still against the law. So therefore, when you slip in this sort of thing, what it is you're really doing, because the law has not been changed. And I am saying to you, there are strange things afoot. And persons are doing these things to satisfy a particular community. If you look across the whole Caribbean, nobody's going there. But you watch and see what's happening with Barbados. And people are basically, and all people rushing around to do is to praise Ms. Motley is wonderful and she's an angel. But they're not looking at the actions of this government, where there is no opposition and where the media seem totally on the side of the government.
I want to ask you another question, though. So you are you against same-sex marriage?
Absolutely against it.
Okay.
I am not against persons having their friendships, etc., but I am totally against legalizing same-sex marriage and buggery and that sort of thing. I feel that the public, the majority of the public, there will be persons who support it, but the majority of the public's opinion on this must stand. And I am totally against the way the government is going about this secretly, doing things that persons, and they don't even have a clue what is really happening. And I am against that. Let the public have their say on this.
All right. Want to thank you. Want to thank you so much. We'll be back after the... Welcome back. We have a full board and a lot of messages, but let me say this, because this is always a very difficult topic. And there's the Bible, and there's God's law, and then there's man's law, and then there's some things that the Bible has, their laws that man has adopted, and there's some that they chose to leave out. So let's just take adultery, for example. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, that's God's law. Now, is there any charge, or does anyone go to prison because he or she, he has an outside woman, or she has an outside gentleman, and so on and so forth? No. The thing about same-sex relationships, now note, I am not saying that I agree with same-sex, but at the end of the day, because it's not for me. However, I don't put down, or will I judge, or will I throw stones or whatever at people who choose, adults, by the way, let me just stress on that, adults who choose to be in same-sex relationships for whatever reason. I find that some people in Barbados, they're a little bit hypocritical because they will come forward and talk about homosexuality, but sweep under the rug child molestation. They would, again, judge those who are in same-sex relationships, but then agree with some form of adultery, and they may be even performing it themselves. So look, at the end of the day, for me personally, the commandments where thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, no one should do anything to hurt another human being, because that is a given. And if that happens, you take that person out of society, not only just as a lesson, but to protect society. But when you have two people, two males, two females, and adults, because Lord knows it has to be adults, because we don't engage in having relationships with children, and we should not. But two consenting adults decide that they want to have a relationship. And I've said this last year, and I'm going to say it again. It is not anyone's business, in my humble opinion. Let God be the judge of that in the end. They're not hurting you. They're not hurting me. They're doing their thing. If they love each other, so be it. Why then can they not be afforded the same legal rights? Now, you may not want to recognize a marriage because the definition is between a man and a woman. So people say a legal union, a partnership, whatever. But by the way, during the break, I was told that you could name anybody in your will, or use as a medical proxy, or whoever you're comfortable with. So if it is that you have a same-sex relationship and you don't want anybody to know, you can still name that person legally whoever you want. The whole problem is, which I think is doesn't sit well with a lot of people, is the intimacy part of it, when there is so much more to a relationship than just sex. Let's just put it that way. Let's get down to brass tacks. I'll hear your opinion, and we'll see where this conversation goes between now and 2 o'clock. You're on the air.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How do you do?
I'm good. What about you?
I'm fine. I would like to know, you still got those trees? I don't mind getting a sour supper and a more of a tree.
All right. You leave your number. If that is your contribution, leave your number. If not, let's go on to the next point.
In relation, listen, God met Adam, right? And he gave him a partner, which is Eve. Adam and Eve became one, right? Good. He then made Adam for Steve, right? A man can live his life the way he want to live his life, right? But in Bible's law, they tell you about man met for man, woman met for woman. They got some men who are married and then turn around there and living with a man. What about them situations, them things, then, right? They got men who live in adultery. You understand? They divorce the wife and go and married again. That's adultery. If your wife died, you can marry again. You understand? And that type of thing. And then got some men who live in common law relationships and we got children and leave the women and don't want her to pay them out nor nothing like that and go and get married and feel that all is good and grand. Those things are not right. They got signing the Succession Act and all those sort of things, laws in place of 1918 Barbados, and some men don't want to accept these things. Some men live like wild puppies, you understand, the old as hell and still want to interfere with people, girl, children, and all sorts of things.
Totally understand. However, what the argument is for me, if anybody interferes with a child, of course, I have a problem with that, whether it be a same-sex or opposite sex. I believe that children should be left alone until they become adults to make decisions as to whether or not they want to be in a relationship, whether that be with an older man or older man. But at the moment, in my humble opinion, if two consenting adults choose to have a relationship, I would like someone to please tell me why would that be a problem for you living in another parish, living in another country. Why is it a bother to people when so many things are happening? People are hurting other people. People are killing people. People are bullying people. People are stealing from people. People are bearing false witness against their neighbors. And that seems to be okay. But from the time you bring up a same-sex relationship talk, oh my gosh, you know, it's the worst thing ever. And the world is going to come to end. And it's Sodom and Gomorrah and all these different things. Again, it's not for me. Don't get me wrong. But I am not going to sit here. I have a lot of gay friends. And I'm not going to sit here and dislike them, judge them. I will embrace them like I would embrace anybody else and love them and help them in any way I can. But I will have to let God be the judge of that in the end. And that is all I'm saying on that. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and in relation to the common law relationship, why the men don't like to pay out the women after women slave so much for them?
Well, you know, sometimes they got men to slave a lot for women, too. So it works both ways. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, sir.
Pleasant good morning to you. I must say I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say my deepest condolences to Mr. Alpha and his family on behalf of the passing of him. I knew him for quite a while because I live in St. Peter and stuff like that. But that is not what I really call about. Today, what I called about, yesterday I called the program and one of your moderators tried to help me out by giving me a number to reach someone at the National Insurance. Actually, I called about four times and I haven't reached them as yet. But yesterday, I was on the line for almost 3 hours and no one answered the phone because I wanted to find out about my national insurance and stuff like that, why I'm not getting my unemployment benefits. So is my neighbors and stuff like that. And I mean, like, we cannot go on with things like that, suffering. And then on programs, you hear people talking about the removal of Nelson. And we have people in Barbados suffering. To move Nelson is a cost. Forget about Nelson. Deal with the hungry people in Barbados that trying to get their money that can't get it. I don't know what's wrong with the national insurance because I work in the hotel sector. I don't know why the union, Tony Moore and company, why they don't come out and represent the hotel workers or say anything on their behalf when the majority of members are hotel workers? I would like some answers, please.
Okay, sir. Well, I hope that they hear your plea again with the NIS, and I'm so sorry that this is now going into another day. We do have connections at the NIS. I know I certainly do, and if the individual is listening, kindly give me a call, or should I say message me on WhatsApp, and I think we may have your number. Yeah. Yes. Okay, the producer is going to take your number, and we'll see how we can follow up with the situation with the NIS. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air. Yes, I can hear you. Hello. Well, we know someone is there. Hello. Down to Brass Tacks. Go ahead.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, the lady before last about same-sex marriage, I don't really agree with same-sex marriage. But as you quite rightly pointed out, if a man chooses to do what he wants to do, a woman chooses to do what she wants to do, it should be nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, though, man, is this the discrimination against the homosexuals or bisexuals or whatever it is that I was hearing about last night on the radio? That was a bill that was something that was supposed to pass. If a man decided, he think that he's a woman, and he dress up like a woman and go into the workplace, and he's fired, or you know, along those lines. Is that discrimination?
I think it depends on what the law allows. And again, that's such a deep subject because there are persons who would say that it's a choice. And then there are persons who will argue that individuals who portray that type of character, they're born that way. So to me, you know, depending on what it is in terms of what this individual wants to be identified as. No, again, let me tread very carefully because I don't think that you don't want people to say, well, I want to be identified as a dog and I want to be identified as a cat and you need to treat me this way or that way. There needs to be some sort of limit to how far we go with certain things. And that is the truth. If people want to be identified, there was a case last year with a child the parent wanting the child to be identified as male, I think it was, opposite to what the child was born as. Now, that's a very ticklish subject because this is a child who may or may not be sure as to what direction they would want to go for whatever reason. And I don't think that we can decide for children what if they should be a boy or a girl, unless they're actually a boy and a girl. So there's a difference, there's a deeper discussion for how far you will go with certain situations in terms of what can be recognized. And even with the fact that you want to be recognized as, you should still respect persons. Now, asking persons to change bathrooms and to do certain things that may not be feasible to do at this stage. But again, maybe that is something in a discussion people can look at as they have in the United States. I don't think we're there yet, but I certainly know that we are there with the same-sex relationships, and we're not there with the marriage, but I believe that we need to recognize and respect same-sex relationships once they're consenting adults and not related, because someone says that, you know, you can't have a relationship and you're related. I get that. But again, there is a limit. But I think right now what we are faced with is same-sex partnerships that people are asking to be recognized. And it, at the very least, at least respect them. Even if there are certain things that you don't recognize, the least we can do is respect them. Don't make fun. Don't do certain things. Don't pelt rocks at them. There are a lot of things that happen, and they're being bullied and discriminated against. And I think that that's more important right now than we talking about the marriage. But we do have to take a break.
Hi, good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Sandra Husbands here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
I had wanted to call in and pay tribute to Owen Seymour Arthur, the Right Honorable Owen Seymour Arthur. I wanted to express my condolences to his wife, Julie, to Sabrina and Leah, his daughters, his granddaughter, Isabel, and also to his brother and sister, Richard Arthur and Val May. Owen Arthur was my teacher, and he was also my constituent. So it was quite a relationship that we had in terms of he led me as a teacher, and then I was his MP because he lived in West Terrace, where I represent the people there of St. James South. And Owen Arthur was brilliant as a teacher. He was brilliant in economics. To explain, as a student, I had done first year economics and really did not enjoy it. I heard all the theories and so on, but not understanding how it applied to everyday life. It was difficult to manage the concepts and so on. And so I avoided economic subjects during my time at Cave Hill. But in my third year, I was persuaded to take this course, Caribbean Economic Affairs, and it was being taught by Owen Arthur. And I think this was one of the first times that he was going to be teaching at UWE. At the time, I believe he was working at the Central Bank. And because of that, our classes used to be very early on mornings. And I went with trepidation because I said, I don't know if I'm going to really be able to understand all of these concepts. But what was absolutely amazing was that just sitting in his class, economics came alive, because he wasn't just a person who understood economics, and, you know, he was a person who understood the application of economics and how it would affect the everyday lives of people. And that was what made him creative with economics, so that when he had to use his economic tools to be able to chart a path for a nation, he was always able to do that in a way that would have the necessary effect which he wanted on the ground. But unless you sat and listened to him in class, you would not even begin to understand that. And therefore, things that I never understood before in first year econ, I was able to understand then in his class, Caribbean Economic Affairs. And you should have seen those classes, because you had people there from all kinds of, they were studying all kinds of things. You had people like Arnold McIntyre, you had people like Arthur Holder, and they were studying econ, and they were finding it difficult in some of their classes to understand. So like agricultural economics and other things like that, they were having a little trouble with. Whenever our class was finished, it would end up under a tree because somebody else had to come in after. And those boys would gather around Owen Arthur and pummel him with questions. And he was always happy to share, to talk. And you had to write fast. You had to catch it. We used to stand on the periphery trying to keep up with taking notes while he was talking. You were never late for his class because you don't want to miss a drop. And what that did for the people who had the opportunity to be taught by him was really to transform the way in which we thought about economics and how we applied economics when we were engaged in whatever sphere or field we were in. And I think that his legacy lives on in the students that he turned on to the blessing that economics can be to a people when it is properly applied. And one of the things he did for us was to help us to understand why CSME and why CARICOM and why regionalism was so important. And that's why all the students tend to be regionalists. I'm a regionalist. I believe in CARICOM and the single market and what it is we need to do. That was what he birthed in his students and in his political family. And through that, I think he was able to leave a tremendous impact on econ in how people thought about it and in how a new generation of persons who went on to be professional economists, how they were able to apply that to their work and to bring transformation wherever they were across the region. And so I sincerely thank him for his life. I thank him for his dedication. And that's another thing that always struck you, his dedication to people, to Barbados, to the region. And yes, he will be missed, but he has certainly fulfilled his course. He has done and fulfilled the purpose for which God has called him. And we pray that God will continue to bless his family and the persons that he has blessed, that they too can go on and be a blessing to this region.
Thank you so much. That was such a wonderful contribution and memory of the late Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Owen Arthur. We'll be back after the regional roundup, and we will be taking your calls, so please just hold on. We'll be back.